God's word written by Solomon. Solomon wrote these for us. Amen. When you're reading that, he's talking to you. Listen, my son and my daughter, my children, it says, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Praise God. You love God this morning? Praise the Lord. So many things to be thankful for. Just wanted to say one more time what we talked about last week is for a testimony. I love that bell. Send him a check, Chuck. The still small voice, brothers and sisters, when you can find that moment to be alone with God, when you can find some moments just to talk to him, that's when he's going to talk to you, amen? That's when he's going to fill your heart with so much that sometimes you don't want to leave where you are when he's starting to talk to you. When you get to that point, you know you've gained something. You've gained a strength. When you get to a point where you're alone with God and you find yourself just not wanting to leave there because he's speaking to you, then you know you've walked another mile and he's closer to you, amen? We sing that song, Just a Closer Walk. And it's in that still voice. Some people are waiting for churches around the country to have a revival, amen? There's nothing about revivals, per se, in the Bible. A revival is what we do. A revival is getting other people excited about God. And people are waiting for other people. And I say, why wait? You can have a revival in your own house today. You can have a revival wherever you're going for Father's Day. You can have a revival there. So when you go to dinner, if you're all going out to dinner later, make sure that you pray. Let the people to the left and to the right of you know that you're praying. You don't have to do that loud, but let them see that you're praying, and you may start a revival, amen? You might get to say, you know, we haven't prayed in a long time. How come, or maybe some child will say, Dad, how come we don't pray like those people pray, amen? Because when bad things happen, what's the first thing they tell us to do? Hallelujah. So we should pray first before the bad things happen, amen? Praise the Lord. Absolutely be prayed up. The Bible says to be ready in and out of season. You know what that means? It means to be ready to give a word to somebody at any moment. Be in and out of season. Not when you're ready, but when God sends somebody to you. Amen? So you want to be ready when he does that, no matter when it is. Lord, our prayer this morning is just for this, the small, still voice, that we learn to listen, we take some time, that we learn to stop, we learn to rest. We learn to rest. Amen? Rest. My pastor, Pastor Grace, this week had a fall. She fell down and broke her hip. She's got no choice for the next 6 weeks. Guess what she has to do? Rest. We talk about this. Sometimes you get so busy that God's got to put you in a place where you have to rest. What did God do on the seventh day? He rested. You think he was tired? No, he needed to regain his peace, his strength. He needed to regain himself. That's what he wasn't tired. He could have done something else on that day, but he decided to rest. And he told us, and on the seventh day, he rested. He gave us the Sabbath to do what to people? To do good. Remember, they fought with him at the synagogues. The Jews were fighting with him, saying, you can't heal on the Sabbath because it's the Sabbath, and you're not supposed to do anything. And he said, is it good to do good on the Sabbath? And they said they couldn't argue with him. Amen? You can't argue with good. You can't argue with God. And God took, Jesus took his hand and healed his hand on the Sabbath. And he rested. He was strong. He was ready. Amen? He was ready to do good on that day. This is your day of rest, of peace, of joy. If you have a job to do and God has blessed you to do that job, do the job with joy. Do the job as a Christian. Do the job with a smile in your heart. And just let other people know that you're a brother and a sister in God. Hallelujah. Remember that one person you tell, even though you might not think you're doing anything, could change a family. And that family could change friends. And so on. That's the way the Word of God goes, when you spread it, when you share it. Hallelujah. You look around our church, you see a lot of things going on. You see the outside of the church. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful? It's beautiful. You didn't see the work being done because brothers and sisters did that. Guess what? Because they love you. Father, they love you. They did it because they love you. No, they love God. Amen? So they love God. And they just decided to bless us. And who gets blessed? All. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's doing work. He's doing work in your lives too. He's doing work in your home. Trust Him. You might not see it. You might have a son that you want to go to church on Sunday. I do. I don't see it yet, but I'm believing for it. Amen? I'm opening up the door for him. I'm gonna try to guide him in there. We have children. You have grandchildren. You got your best friend. You want to lead him to God. Amen? You see somebody suffering with something. You want to lead him to God. Amen? We saw some friends last night that lost their puppy. Their dog passed away. Their heart was so sad. I just walked over and sometimes no word is the best word. I just walked over and touched them and said, you know, we love you. We understand. It's, you know, you have a lot of things to be joyful about. And he said, I know. He said, I'll remember soon. He said, we're already laughing and smiling. And then he said to me, I know we'll probably get another dog. And I said, that's good, see. But you just give people comfort. I didn't give them a law, oh, just a dog, and oh, you'll get in. No, I just gave them comfort. I just gave them a quiet hand. A quiet, still, small voice. Amen? And that small, still voice gave them comfort. He held my hand. He shook my hand. They held my wife and hugged my wife. There wasn't anything left that needed to be said. Amen? That's the way God works with you. And that still, small voice, He'll give you the comfort. Amen? It's our God. I'm telling you today, on this day in June, God can heal this world. Are you with me? Do you believe He can heal this world? Well, if you believe He can heal this world, He can certainly heal your house. Amen? He can heal your friends and your family. Prayer testimonies. Prayer testimonies. God is our testimony. Amen? God. Jesus. Say the name, Jesus. If that doesn't make you feel good, ask God to help you. Say, Lord, I know that I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I know that He saved me. And I know that I have the indwelling of His Holy Spirit inside me. Amen? You all know that. God lives inside of you. He indwells inside of you. If you don't feel that joy, ask God to increase your joy. Say, the Spirit inside of me, open up. Open up, Spirit, and fill me. To do the first step, amen? You take that first step. Clear out the junk. Clear out your mind. Clear out the arguments. Clear out the disagreements. And let the Holy Spirit fill you, amen? And your life, whew, gonna change by the minute. And your family and your friends. Yes, Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Is there a more beautiful name than Jesus? That's God, our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. I love Him. Do you love Him? Thank you, Lord. Lord, this church is growing, and that's your testimony. And when Deacon Chuck and I believe we'll be a beacon on top of this church to bring people to Christ. Not to bring people to me or to my wife, to the music, to the songs, but to bring people to God. Jesus. I believe that since the first day I walked in, that if we just preach the word, God will do the rest. Hallelujah. And He's doing a great job. Hallelujah. I don't look at empty seats. I look at the people who are here. I pray for those that aren't here today who want to be here today. I pray for those who are on vacation. Gary and Marcia celebrating their wedding anniversary. They're up in New Hampshire. Lord, just touch them. You are blessing them unbelievably. Touch them. Give them more strength and joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just love them more. That's the prayer. Let them in. Let them in. Remove the dust. Remove the static. And let Jesus in. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Church, give them praise. Let just shake the dust off, get your feet, take your shoes off, Fred, and sit back and relax. God is good. Can I get an amen? You ever deal with a demon? You ever deal with enemies? You ever deal with something? Somebody comes against you. You want to read something? I'm going to read from the book of Acts. Listen to this. You want to know how to deal with it? I love this. Listen to this. Paul is writing. He said, "Now when they had gone through the land to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer." Y'all know what a sorcerer is, amen? A false prophet. A Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This sorcerer was with the proconsul. He was with the group, and he was with the head. Sergius Paulus was his name. This man called for Barnabas and Saul. Sergius called for Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were two of the closest friends in the Bible. Amen. They absolutely loved each other. They were together in ministry. They were strong. And he called them, and he said he wanted to hear for the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, that was his name, for so his name is translated, he stood them in front of him. He withstood them, it said, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. He's going to stop this guy from talking about God. Then Saul, listen, you want to know how to deal with things that come against you? Listen to what Saul, just listen to what he said. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, amen, looked intently at him and said, "All full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a darkness fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when they saw what had been done, being a astonished at the teachings of the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you hear what he did? He didn't argue with the demon. He didn't argue with the sorcerer, did he? He didn't talk to him. He didn't try to reason with him. He just said right out. That's what you say when something comes against you. You say, "In the name of Jesus, be gone." You know, you can't stand in the light. Amen? The demon can't stand in the light. Y'all know that? These things that come against you, they can't stand again. Nothing formed against you can prosper. That's the word of God. Amen? Nothing formed against you can what? Prosper. That means nothing bad can come against you. You got to stand. Somebody told me that there's seven demons. Dave, you heard that, right? We talked about seven demons in this building right next to us. I'm not tempting them. I'm not calling them out. I'm just saying, so what? Amen? Because greater is he who is in me than is in that building over there. Amen? This is the house of who? And that's the house of who? So we got them under our feet. Amen? That's the way Paul taught. Now listen. Now listen now, church, I want you to understand, I want you to just stay with me and see that this church and all other churches are no different than what these people went through. Now, after all this, when Paul and his party set sail to Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. Now, if you just read that, you say, well, John, and by the way, that's John Mark. Y'all know the Gospel Mark? Well, Paul and them, they were going to go on a mission. And the Bible says they were getting ready to go. And it said that John turned and went the other way. And it did. All of a sudden, it really doesn't mean anything to you until you understand what happened. Paul was going on a mission. Him and they were going out to build churches. Amen. They were going out to do work for the God, for God. Amen. And John Mark decided he went back. He didn't want to do the work. Amen. It doesn't say why he turned back. Maybe he was afraid. Amen. Maybe he wasn't strong enough. Maybe he felt like he couldn't contribute. Whatever it was, it doesn't say. But if you start reading in the book of Acts, and this is really beautiful. This is just a story you can read. It says where they go. They went to Perga. They went to Antioch. They went to Pisidia. And they went to all the synagogues. And they started preaching the word. And they started working for who? Hallelujah. They went to Iconium, and they were there, and they were preaching in the synagogues to the Jews, and they were speaking to the Gentiles, and they were preaching. They went to Lystra, and they started preaching, and they started doing miracles. Amen. They were working. This was taking time. There was a mission. But Mark had turned back. Amen. Hallelujah. In fact, he was stoned. Paul was stoned. It said the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. No, Derbe, right? I'm good, right there. But you can read this Bible and put any name you want to put in because it works today. Amen? This is real. And then they went and they strengthened all the people who came to God. They went to all these places and they preached, and they preached the word of God. And they had many disciples and many people believing. Hallelujah. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Amen? They had done a lot of work. Are you with me? Paul and Barnabas, and they had done a lot of work. Took a lot of energy, amen. Paul was almost killed. Barnabas, amen. They went through a lot. They went through a lot of struggles, but they were building churches, amen. They were building people up to follow God. Mark came back. Just said that. Remember I read that to you, that one line? How many people think that the people in the Bible were perfect? Do anybody think that you have to be perfect to follow God? You think Paul and Peter, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, you think they were perfect people? You think, you know, in order to read the Bible, you have to have an understanding of perfection. It's just the opposite, amen? They were people like you, like me. He built churches like this church, amen? He would come here and build a church like this, and then the one on the other side of the green and the red one. They're all preaching Jesus, amen? They're building churches. We're building brothers and sisters. One reason this book is so special is because it is a real book. Now, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, his best friend, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God and see how they're doing." Paul says, now this, he said, let's go back to all the places that we've been in. Let's start seeing how they're doing. Let's go see how their churches are doing. And Barnabas was determined to take with him John, called Mark. By the way, Mark was Barnabas' cousin, but he's going to take him. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Listen to this. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. We have disagreements in church, amen?
Amen.
Contentious, best friends. They were so angry at one another, so mad at one another, that they decided, you go west, I'm going east, amen? They could not have gone in a more different direction because they were angry at one another. I want to take John Mark. No, take him Mark, because last time he came, it said he departed. He didn't want to do the work, so he ain't coming. So they started to have a disagreement, amen? You ever have a disagreement with somebody in church? Just like this. It says, got to remember something. This disagreement was not personal. It was, you know, it was personal, not doctrinal. Amen. It wasn't about God. Amen. They weren't disagreeing about God in the Bible. Amen. They were disagreeing on an opinion. Amen. It was a personal disagreement. And so we can often do disagreeing matters of opinion, but we should always stay focused on God and our church. Amen. Sometimes things happen as we grow. You're going to have things happen that maybe you don't agree with or you don't like to. And you say, you know what? I don't agree with that, but that's not about God. That's about my feelings. So you know why? I'm going to tell you this. We're a team. Amen. Say that with me. We're a team. We're a family. And when our church is blessed, who gets blessed? And we all want to be blessed. Amen. When someone sees work and sees our work, and somebody new comes to this church and they see our church and they see all the beautiful things of the church, they don't see one person. What do they see? The church. Amen. All of us. When they walk into the church and they see you there sitting there smiling and clapping, amen, and they see you praising God and they see you saying amen with me, and they see the work outside and they see the people, what do they see? They see a church together on fire for God. Amen. Now, if we have a disagreement, that's okay, because the Bible just said it's okay because they had it. It's what you do with the disagreement. Amen. Now, some folks will say, I have a disagreement and I'm not going back to that church. And what happens to the church? It starts to fall apart. Amen. All of a sudden, the joy isn't quite what it should be. Amen. All of a sudden, the peace isn't exactly. All of a sudden, some of the work that needs to be done doesn't get done. Amen. All of a sudden, there's a division. And why? because of opinion. Oh God, we differ in opinions, don't we? We differ in politics, and we got so many opinions. But it shouldn't separate the love, amen? It shouldn't separate our hearts. Let me tell you, we're going to read a little bit more. This does not separate Paul and Barnabas. They loved each other. They separated on an opinion, not on the Bible, amen? Now God had his hand in this. And when you let God fix things, you know, when you let God fix things, it's just as good on the left as it is on the right. Amen? If people were just focused to the middle and focused on God and let him fix things, I trust you, the people on the right and the people on the left would be just as happy, wouldn't they? Hallelujah. When you start to trust in God and let go, you start to learn that you can trust everybody sitting around you, amen? You start to see that this church is more than just your Sunday morning coming. This church is where you get your friendship, where you get your strength, amen? This church is where you come and say, you know, I'm searching for something. I'll find it at my church. Somehow, maybe it won't be in the church, but somebody will lead me to it. Maybe Art has something that Jim needs. Didn't know about it. So they started talking. He said, oh, I can help you with that. Really? And maybe Miss Tom and Mr. Pat back there have something that George Marsh needs. And he doesn't know about it. He said, well, really? You can, yeah. Because when you come to God, he brings you good people. Amen? Are you with me? Thank you. Hallelujah. Trusting God makes quarrels end well. Anybody know that? Say that with me. Trusting God makes quarrels end well. It certainly does. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Paul tells Timothy many years later, 2 Timothy 4:11, he says, only Luke is with me. And he says to Timothy, get me Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Hallelujah. In Colossians, in the church there, he's talking, and he says, Mark, my fellow worker, a great worker. Mark. This is the same Mark where him and Barnabas had a big fight over here saying, I ain't coming with him. And they had a contentious disagreement. Amen? They were so mad at each other that they couldn't even stay in the same place. They went opposite directions. But they loved God. Amen? You understand? They focused not on their opinion, but they focused on God. Says in Colossians, with Mark, my fellow workers. Paul, Mark, they had a disagreement. We don't really know what happened as far as did Mark apologize? Did Mark change his heart? Did Paul compromise his heart? Did Paul accept the apology? Or did Paul realize that maybe he was wrong? That doesn't matter, does it? What happened was they came together, amen? They came together so well that he says that Mark is useful to me for ministry, that Mark is one of my fellow workers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Disagreements happen all the time. Disappointments happen all the time, even in church. Yes. Amen. Because feelings get in the way. But the Bible says we don't walk by feelings. Amen. We walk by faith. Amen. Are you with me? We walk by faith. We trust God. Hallelujah. Now, I wanted to read more, but I'm going to let you go earlier. Just I want to get carried away because I can. Once I start, so when I get into my study on Monday, by Saturday, I've got notebooks full of stuff that I'm reading and I'm going back and reading. And I trust me, you'd love it too. If you start looking at stuff and reading it any way you want to read, you start getting excited and get all things. But I want you to know that Paul and Peter had a very big disagreement. And Peter was doing something that Paul just thought was absolutely wrong, and Paul went right to him, and confronted him about that. And I just, I just share that with you because sometimes it's going to happen, amen? But Paul and Peter never separated on their love for God, amen? On the focus of God. And Peter admitted that what he did wasn't right, amen? And it wasn't like, I don't want you to think, Peter did something wrong in the Bible. No, Peter did what he thought was right in his mind. See, Peter was going to the Jews, and when the Jews came to the church, he would go and he would sit with the Jewish people, and he wouldn't sit with the Gentiles thinking, well, I'll sit with the Jews because, you know, I got to talk to them. And Paul's saying, why are you doing that? Because when they're not here, you're over here sitting with these people, with the Gentiles. But now they're here, the big shots are here, and you want to sit over here. He confronted him. He confronted him with that. And it wasn't like either one of them was wrong, understand. But sometimes we have to bring somebody back to the center. You may say that. You say, you weren't really wrong about that. Let's talk about it, because you're both right, but you're both you got to see it the same way, amen? You got to bring it back to the middle, amen? We compromise on opinions, amen? When you let God take care of it, what did I say? It's better, amen? It's always best. We never compromise on this, amen? Never compromise. We never apologize for what we believe in this book, amen? Hallelujah. Five things. It shows that these people weren't robots. Paul, Peter, Mark, Luke, Matthew, John, Ringo, George. They weren't robots. They were real people, and they had disagreement. They're doing what we were doing right here. They were building churches, amen? And as they built the churches, they had disagreements, but they focused on who? It shows they actually did disagree and had issues. And it also shows that this book, the Bible, this is alive with issues that we all go through. It shows how real this book is and not just a flatline book about perfect people doing perfect things. And it shows that if we remove self and not judge and not grumble, hallelujah, and stay open to change and growth, focused on Jesus, that we allow God to intervene and we can see again and again how His answers bless everyone. Amen? Amen. Contentious disagreements don't have to divide hearts and people. Paul and Barnabas disagreed, but their love for each other stayed the same. Their faith never wavered. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Their faith never wavered. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're growing, church. We're going to face speed bumps like that, too. Amen? We're going to face some disagreements like that, too. Amen? We're growing. More people coming means more opinions, amen? More people coming means more people that we have to take care of and talk to and lift up and encourage, amen? More people to call, more things to do. It's the work to be done. We pray that we get workers, that God sends us the hands of workers. It was so funny last night that I don't mean to pick out Tom and Pat, but they came last night to where we were performing, and at the end of the night when we were done, they started helping the place clean up and folding up chairs, and I said, boy, that's all they did, they're workers, amen? They were folding up chairs there. I think we are blessed to have people in this church that want to do that. Amen? Planted those flowers. 35 hostas out there. Planted and measured. And measured apart in all the ways that they're supposed to be. Nobody saw it done, but there it is. Amen? That's love. Amen? Somebody loves us. Somebody loves the church. Amen? It's what we prayed about 3 years ago in April. That people would love our church. Amen? And it would grow. But as it grows, we're going to face some of these things, amen. I just pray that everybody stays focused on the church and on God and talk to each other and share with each other and grow with each other, but do not let the disagreements cause anything to happen to our church, amen. Because when one person is missed, we suffer. I miss Gary and Marcia today, amen. I miss Doreen and her family today, amen. Because when they're here, we have a stronger faith, amen. We have joy, amen. I miss everybody who's not in attendance. I miss Jackie when she's not here with Greg. Amen? That's what a church and a family is all about. Amen? We missed Bill. He wasn't here. We missed him. He sits as far back. If there was another row, he'd sit in the one back behind them. But his presence is always felt. Amen? We love him. We love God. We love each other. This is your church. Get excited. Amen. Know that we're going to have some of this, and know that the Bible tells us how to fix it. Trust God. Give Him praise and glory. Did God and Jesus, did they make it too easy for us? Because man gets in the way. They put bondage in our way. They put laws and regulations and rules in front of us. When Jesus said, I am simply the truth, the life, and the way. What He did on that cross for us, for all of us who believe. And He simply asked that we do this in remembrance of Him. In Jesus' name. That this is my blood being shed for you, and He said, for the remission of your sins. Amen. For the remission of your sins, I'm doing this. And He simply said to drink and do this in remembrance of Him. What I was reading from before was in the book of Acts. It's simply the Acts of the Apostles as they were building their churches and what they went through. Acts 13, it started in. And it went all the way through Acts 16. And you can read in 2 Timothy 4:11, Frank, where he mentions his faithful friend, Mark. And Colossians 4, you'll also read about his faithful friend and servant, Mark. Brothers and sisters, disagreements happen, but when you heal the disagreements, you never know how great a friend you're going to find. When you forgive, and that person forgives, and you walk closer together, you never know the greater friend that you find, amen? The greater that you could be together when you heal a disagreement can be greater than it was before, because now you have a bond of understanding, amen? You can look at somebody and say, look, I disagree with you, but it's okay because I can still love you, and you can still love me, and that's a bond of understanding, and that's hard to break. That's just hard to break, because then you let the strength of love connect. You know, we're not expected to agree on every opinion, but we're expected to agree on Jesus and to preach just one thing, not to change, not to compromise, not to waver, but just to believe in Jesus. Say, well, I don't see it happening, Pastor. I got these prayers and I don't see them. Well, trust me, maybe it's you that needs to get stronger first. Maybe it's you that needs to come closer to God first. Maybe it's you that just needs to calm your spirit and let God do His work. And then you'll see a change right away. But with these disagreements and the things that are going to happen in this church as we grow, it's going to happen because the Bible tells us, it shows us. We need to bond together as a church. We need to bring, when the new people come in, they need to see us in joy. They need to see us in peace. They need to see us as a family. Amen? They need to see the strength. You need to do that for Him. In order to be a beacon, we need to be strong through the storms together. Amen? And when we're stronger through the storms, we're stronger together, and we just make God so shine. Amen? Like that light. He took the wine and poured it into a cup. He blessed it and raised it. And He told His disciples, they didn't know what He was talking about. But they said, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. And they sat there and they drank and ate with Him, not knowing, but you know. You know. And He simply says to do this in remembrance of Him. In Jesus' name.